This is the message from Connection Community Church for Christmas Eve, December 24th, 2025. Imagine holding the Savior.
Teenage girl and her soon to be. Simple trip far as they could see. Sky was clear and the hour serene. Did they know what the night would bring? Lonely hearts strewn across the land. We've been waiting long for a healing hand. My heart was there and I felt the chill. When love came down and the earth stood still. When love came down and the earth stood still. Stood under starry skies, tasting grace that would change their lives. The angels trembled and the demons did too, for they knew very well what pure grace would do. I was there that night. My heart was there and I felt the chill. When love came down and the earth stood still. When love came down and the earth stood still. When love came down and the earth stood still.
Good evening. Merry Christmas. Woo, we got a good section up here in the front. That's good. If you would really like to be ready to receive what God wants to give you this Christmas, would you join me in just pause and prepare for His Word? Holy God, help us to make room right now in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds. Help us to make room to receive what you want, to receive your presence, to receive your word. We are open, we are hungry, we want to be ready for you. So we give you this time and we receive your grace. And it is in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that we pray. Amen. Amen. Imagine with me tonight. Ready? Imagine going to Bethlehem. Not back then, but actually today. Modern day Bethlehem. Bethlehem today, you would find it a lot more crowded than it was when Jesus was born, when it was a little village, a little town of Bethlehem. It's not so little anymore. 30,000 people live in Bethlehem today, believe it or not. And millions of people visit every year for obvious reasons. I imagine the traffic is at least as bad as Middletown, at least, okay? Yeah. So imagine traveling down those busy streets to find a very special place. It's called the Church of the Nativity. The Church of the Nativity. It is the oldest active church in the world. Oldest ongoing place of Christian worship in the world, because 1,700 years ago, this church was built over the very place that Jesus is believed to have been born at. Now, of course, there's no way to prove for sure or know for sure with certainty, is this really the place? But there's good reasons to think it really could be, because it goes back that far. This church is built over the place that Jesus was born at. And so if you arrived here, let's say, to celebrate Christmas, wouldn't that be an amazing place to celebrate Christmas? People will be there Christmas Eve worshiping, celebrating midnight mass. They're seven, 8 hours ahead of us. So do the math. It might have already happened. I'm not sure. But how cool would that be? But if you got there, you would find something very strange about this church. When you go to walk in, the door in is 4 feet high and 2 feet wide. Seriously. The door is 4 feet high and 2 feet wide. Imagine if that was the door here, you probably would have just turned around. Like, I don't know if I want to go in there. This tiny door, by the way, it's so small, even my wife, who's 5'1¼", would have to crouch to go in there. That's a small door. Small door. So there's historic reasons they made it so small. It was like to prevent from plunderers and stuff in the Middle Ages. But today it's taken on a symbolic meaning. They call this door the door of humility. The door of humility. So get this. To visit the place of Jesus' birth, you have to enter in through the door of humility. If that's not sacred poetry, I don't know what is. and it's true. It's really true. No matter who you are, how tall you stand, or how important you think you are, wherever you come from, if you want to behold the birth of this king, you have to enter through the door. Humility. You know the story, I'm guessing. The angels sang, you know, the shepherds came, they bowed down. The wise men, they came later, they bowed down. And so do we. So do we. We continue to bow down and adore him and worship and remember him again and again and again, because there is no greater love than this. No greater love than this. The Apostle Paul, who once violently opposed the gospel, he eventually walked through that door of humility and bowed down. And he became the greatest missionary of all time. He wrote these words in Philippians 2. Check this out. Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. By taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. The person who wrote those words used to persecute Christians, and then he became Apostle Paul. 300 years after that, someone named Augustine, probably heard of him, he once resisted Jesus too until he turned about 30. He had a praying mom, by the way. That usually helps. And he eventually walked through that door and bowed down and became one of the greatest Christian thinkers of all time. And he wrote this prayer, which is an amazing prayer for Christmas time. Augustine wrote, he prayed, "O Lord our God, maker of all things, who became small for our sake, you who clothed the heavens were wrapped in swaddling cloths. You who rule the stars lay in a manger. Grant that as we marvel at your humility, we may be raised by your mercy through Christ Jesus our Lord. We bow down because no matter how low we go, he went so much lower for us, so much lower for our salvation." This is the story of Christmas. This is the gospel of Jesus, that the Lord Almighty would descend to us. There's no greater love than this. There's no greater glory than this, than the one who left his glory, his eternal glory, to come to the dust so that he could lift us up to his glory. Nothing better than that. Nothing greater than that. Here is the Savior. Here is the Lord. Here is the Son of God. This is Christmas. This is what we're here to celebrate tonight. So during Advent at Connection, we've been walking through the Gospel of Luke together. It's been a good journey. For the first couple chapters, Luke has some of the most memorable Christmas stories. And we're going to read tonight the Linus verse from Charlie Brown's Christmas. Not in the King James Version, but if you like Charlie Brown Christmas like me, this is that passage. And so this is how Luke describes the birth of Christ. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them." Isn't it interesting that in the story of the birth of Jesus, it begins by naming the most powerful man in the world at the time, Caesar Augustus? That's how Luke begins the story of Christmas, of Jesus' birth. He was the first emperor of Rome, and by many accounts, the greatest. Before him, Rome was a republic, and then under him, it became an empire. Caesar Augustus. He exercised his authority by decreeing a census, making everybody in the empire be registered. And really the point of a census was for taxes and military. How many able-bodied fighting people do you have? So it's money and power. His power depended on the amount of people and cash in his domain, which was vast, very large. Do you know what they called Caesar Augustus back then before people knew about Jesus? Caesar Augustus was actually referred to sometimes as Son of God. Because he was the adopted son of Julius Caesar, and the Roman Senate deified Julius Caesar after his death, and so Augustus was called Son of God. He was also called Savior, and the celebration of his birthday was referred to as Good News, Gospel, because through his leadership, Rome entered its golden era and ushered in peace, so-called peace. You heard of the Pax Romana. That was all under Augustus Caesar, which, by the way, imagine how much blood had to be shed to enforce that peace, so-called peace. Isn't it ironic that it was under this Roman emperor's, through his decree, that the Hebrew prophecy of the Messiah's birth was fulfilled? God in his sovereignty used that to make sure that Joseph and Mary got to Bethlehem to fulfill the words of Micah or Malachi. You just preached on this. Micah, thanks. Thanks. She's helping me out. Anyway, how about that? This poor unknown child lying in a feeding trough, which is what a manger is. A manger is a feeding trough for animals. He's the one that the angel Gabriel said was the true Son of God, because he was miraculously conceived by the Holy Spirit. And the angel said his kingdom would never end. Just compare and contrast the might of Caesar with this divine child. For the next 30 years, Jesus would live in obscurity. Not many people would know his name. And even when he entered the scene and began his public ministry and people began to flock to him, he never, during his earthly life, traveled beyond the confines of an area roughly the size of the state of New Jersey. And yet, here we are. The name Caesar Augustus has faded into history. His kingdom ended hundreds of years ago. So-called Son of God. And then there's Jesus. There's Jesus. This guy who was born with no like earthly power, no governments to command, no human armies to, you know, send out on his behalf, no monetary political power. Low social status. And here we are 2,000 years later, and Jesus is being worshipped by more people around the world than ever before. And every day, more and more people acknowledge his name as the name above every name. His kingdom continues to advance because it is not of this world. Caesar had power to make people do what he wanted to do. He could get a lot of people to do what he wanted them to do, but only within the limits of what was humanly possible. And as soon as things turned, history moved on and another kingdom kept moving in. The cycle continued. Jesus had a power and authority that was far above. He had the power to actually change and transform people's lives. And he still has that power. And he's still changing lives today. He's reigning today. How do you explain this inconceivable turn of history unless he actually is who he said he was? Savior, Lord, Son of God. Christmas can be a crazy time for us, right? Bring it down to earth for a second. How you doing? Got a couple more hours. Get ready. Can be crazy, yeah? Can be fun, can be exciting. My kids are here. I have 4 kids, 7 to 11. I think they're excited. Are you guys excited? Fun, exciting, awesome. Holidays can also be stressful, overwhelming, depressing for some. And even though we try to like pause and celebrate and get together, like life goes on and the world keeps being the world, and sometimes tragedies strike out of nowhere that we're not prepared for. Regardless of the time of year, regardless of the season, our state saw a tragedy yesterday. They keep coming. Holidays can be crazy. Christmas can be tough. I don't know how you're doing. You might be great. You might not be so great. You might be somewhere in the middle with all the different stuff. But I think in a group this size, it's safe to say, I'm sure there are people in this room and people online who are having a tough year. This might be the hardest Christmas you've ever experienced for different reasons. It happens. We need to know, we need to remember that if we're walking in darkness right now, this is for you. He came for you. He came for that purpose. If this is the hardest year of your life, if this is the hardest holiday you've experienced for whatever reason, like, that's why the light shines in the darkness. It's for you. We complicate Christmas like to no end, but honestly, it's just meant to be a time to reset our lives. Did you know that? We've been trying to do that all Advent here at Connection, to recognize the simplicity of how this is a season for us who follow Jesus to reset our lives, to recenter on the one who saves us from sin and death, to look back and remember how he arrived first, and to prepare and anticipate when he's going to return. And the word says he's going to make all things new. Christmas is just to kind of realign with that and get back on that track. It's simply about that. So if you're struggling to enter in that door, if this has just been a time, or maybe you might be one of those people that just every time the holidays come around, it's a challenge to enter into that peace and hope and joy and love that we talk about at Christmas and Advent, but maybe we don't always experience it. This is a time to enter in. If you struggle with that, I want to encourage you to look at the first Christmas story we can find in the big character of Christmas other than Jesus, Mary, a really good way to celebrate. I want to give you this tonight to take home with you. You know, Mary had been in the middle of all this. Her whole life was disrupted. Can't even imagine. She had been visited by angels. She had experienced prophecies fulfilled. She had given birth to her first child unexpectedly, miraculously. And then the shepherd showed up out of nowhere with this like story of the glory of God. All these things, right? What is she going to do? How is she going to handle this moment? Look at how Mary responded. And think about this as a way to celebrate Christmas. It says in Luke chapter 2, verse 19, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. That's what she did. You think her life was a little chaotic at that time? But it says, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. She took it all in. She captured the memories. She hid them safe in her heart. And she just mulled it over. She considered. She looked at all of it together and said, What might this mean? What might God be doing? I'm just going to sit back and take it in and reflect. Treasure all these things about Christ and ponder them in the heart. That's Christmas. That's Christmas. Things are stirring in our world right now. If you Google the quiet revival, if you look up that phrase, you will find a surprising new trend. Recent data, as recently as like the last year or two, recent data is suggesting a surprising trend in Western culture where, you know, United Kingdom, North America, Western culture, where Christianity, church has been in decline. Other parts of the world, the church is growing like wildfire, but the Western culture, things have been in decline. There is this recent trend where we are seeing more young people among Gen Z and millennials coming back to church. And some have speculated, predicted that supposedly more will be in church in the UK, North America, this Christmas than before in this generation. Something is shifting. There is a growing, widespread spiritual hunger for community, for authenticity, for truth, for God. I don't know what brought you into the door tonight. Some of you, this might be home, High Church family, and you've been here 1,000 times. You walked through that door, celebrate. Some of you might have been coming out of duty. You know, you got the friend or the parent or the grandparent, and they're like, hey, it's Christmas. You make my Christmas gift coming to church. And you're like, okay, I'll do it for you. You know, awesome. We love that you're here. Or you might be one of those people who is experiencing that stirring. Something is drawing you here, and you're searching. You're searching for something. I don't know what might have brought you here and how many times you've been here, if it's your first time or 1,000th time, but whoever you are, if you are searching for God this Christmas, the message of Christmas is basically look no further. He's come to us right here into our world. He's not what you would expect. He's infinitely better. You know, sometimes we run around searching for something that's not actually lost. The other night I got home, and my wife and kids were running around the house outside looking for our dog because they left the garage door open, and they thought the dog got out. Her name's Ruby. And so we're out there. You ever done this before? We're out there. It's dark. We're shouting it up and down, you know, the neighborhood street. Neighbors are wondering. We're like, Ruby, where are you? Ruby, come home. By the way, our first dog was named Honey. So when I shouted out outside, honey, come home, it was a little weird. I was thinking maybe people would wonder things. Anyway, but this dog's name is Ruby. Ruby, come home. We found out 5 minutes later, she was inside the whole time. She was chilling in the basement. She got locked in the basement, so she was chilling in the house. You know what that's like? You're looking for something you already have. You're looking for your keys, and they're in your hand. Barry said one time he was looking for his phone by using his flashlight on his phone to find his phone. It's a good story. Where's the glasses? Oh, they're over here. Like, oh, there it is. Folks, Christmas simply means that you don't have to search anymore. He has already come. There's a lot of people searching for God. A lot of people searching for God, some way or another. Like looking for something to save them, looking for something that satisfies, looking for a reason, a purpose, a better way to live. Christmas simply means you don't have to search anymore. He's already come to us. He promised that he would, and then he did. They waited a long time for his timing, but he came, and he's still showing up to unexpected people in unexpected places in unexpected ways. He's still showing up, and he promised that he would come back again. One of the last verses of the Bible says, "Behold, I am making all things new." That's what's going to happen when Jesus returns. It'll be the end of all things broken and the beginning of all things new. If you're searching for God, look no further. He's here. He's come. He's come. God has done all the hard work. He's paid the highest price for us. He's come to us to make it easy for us to come to him, to make it as simple as bowing down, walking through that door, and realizing that he's here in this humble, unexpected way. You just have to walk through that door. All he asks is that you trust him. He's taking care of everything else. Everything that we couldn't do ourselves, he's taking care of it. He just asks that you trust him, put your faith in him, and you will find everything you need. Imagine if that's what this Christmas was about for you. Imagine that. If you have come through these doors tonight, but you've never gone through that door, the door of humility, bow before Jesus, or if you've drifted from him, I would love to invite you to come to Jesus tonight. Nobody will force you through that door. God himself won't force you through that door. But if you are being drawn, if you are being stirred, if you want him in your life, if you want that in your life, this is a great time to start. It's a great night to start. What if Christmas was about that this year? What if it was about him? What if this was your first Christmas that you actually made about Jesus? I would love to invite you to come to him tonight. That's the only reason we're here, to be honest. Otherwise, we're just kind of playing around. I don't know what you expected, but that's what we talk about in church. You are welcome. He's inviting you. You want Jesus, then pray with me, whether it's the first time or a return or just a time to renew, to just make sure you know that you know that you know what this season is about. I just invite you to pray with me and come to him. Lord God, we want to thank you tonight, just like we do every single day. Thank you for making it so simple and so easy for us to come to you. You took the initiative. You loved us first. Even while we were your enemies, you loved us and gave your life for us so that we could simply come to you, so that we could have access, so that we don't have to run around anymore searching high and low for purpose, for salvation, for hope, for a future, for a meaning. We don't have to search anymore. You've come to us to make it clear. So God, I pray for every single person in this room, every single person joining with us from a distance tonight, you would renew in our hearts the hope of the gospel. For those that have come through that door 100 times, 1,000 times, retune our hearts tonight to just be aligned with your heart, Lord Jesus, so we can follow you and walk in your way that leads to life, God. And Lord, we pray especially for those with us tonight who have not yet walked through that door, but we know there are some who have felt that call, who have felt that pull from Jesus, and maybe it's been a journey, there's been some ups and downs or some resistance. We pray that tonight would be a breakthrough moment, Lord, that they would be drawn into your holy presence. Bow before the Lord of all, who stooped down to our level, Lord. For someone here, Lord, who's kind of drifted away and is being invited to recommit, to resurrender once again, we just pray for them, God. Draw us in tonight so that this can be a totally different holiday than we've ever experienced. The goodness of God filling our lives again. Lord God, we just pray you would forgive us for our sins. Forgive us for where we have fallen short and turned away and walked in darkness. And help us once again to walk in the light as you are in the light. Tonight we receive all that you have for us. We receive the gift of salvation in Jesus' name. Hope that is greater than the grave. Grace that is stronger than our sin. The sure promise of everlasting life in this world of sin and death. We receive that gift again. The greatest gift, the only gift that matters. We receive it. And we praise you. And we pray all of this in the mighty name, the name above all names, even though he bowed down to the lowest place. Jesus Christ. And if you agree, then together let's say amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people with Jesus and the new life he offers.